happy Easter to you. And it's been a wonderful day for us in our family. We spent yesterday outdoors because it was a beautiful day, and ate and a big meal, and then today we have just sat around and watched some TV to make sure the hurricanes were gonna, or the tornadoes were gonna hit somebody but other than us. And we needed to know whether to dive into the closet or not. And so happy Easter to you. And it looks like the storms have passed our immediate area. To the south of us, you can continue to pray because people are still in trouble to the south of us. And so I've heard there's been a lot of trouble in south of us. And so continue to pray for the people that are underneath us, that are in the storm. And as I said, as you're logging on, you'll need your Bible, and you'll need some good old-fashioned Welch's grape juice, and you'll need something, some sort of bread, crackers, or whatever as the service goes on. This is the oddest Easter service that I've ever been a part of. It's likely the oddest that you've been a part of. I can't remember the last Easter that I wasn't gathered with the saints. It was probably the Easter before the Lord saved me many years ago. And so it's interesting to have to gather with you this way and electronically. And I can see you scrolling on so that I know that some of you are here. And that's good. As you pop on, I can see that you've popped on, and so howdy all y'all. And I'm gonna just chit chat here for a few more minutes. I want you to know that Angel and I and my daughter and my wife and Chelsea have gone through several variations of a background. You wouldn't believe how difficult that was. We came up with this simple one, which is just an Easter lily and me. And so I hope that'll work for you. But goodness gracious, we way overdid all that. And so I am glad to be with you. I was thinking about Easter as it relates to Easter being the Easter message, if you will. And I was thinking about the Easter message, of course, in light of the times that we're living in and this weird virus, which for a month or so, we were fairly sure that a whole bunch of us were going to get munched up by us, and really a lot of us have. And I was thinking about that, and a couple of the nights as I went through it, as I told you a couple weeks ago, that I'm 60 years old. I just came away from 15 months of a difficult lung problem, in some version of pneumonia they had a hard time finding and fixing. And then also, I'm carrying an extra 40 pounds. And so I'm responsible for being fat. But for the rest of it, I don't know what was up with the pneumonia, and I'm just 60, so. But I knew that I was at risk, and so that made what was happening next with me interesting, and it made me thoughtful and reflective, and. And so I wanted to say the Easter message this way. And I just saw one of my old Navy buddies pop on. And he was my dearest friend in the Navy. And his name's John Graves. And so, hi, John. But let me say this, is that when I was thinking about Easter, and I was thinking about this thing, and I was thinking about what my own heart's been going through for the last few days. And maybe this didn't happen to a single one of you. Maybe none of you are old enough or not healthy, or maybe you're all healthy, maybe just not the top people who think about this type of stuff, but I've had a couple days where I've thought about my swan song. Actually called my brother, who's a CPA and a guy who helps you get your affairs in order, and from the financial side. And I said, you know, I've always wanted to kind of tape something that my kids could have. And I thought to myself, you know, there's no better swan song. And this is what I mean. I want you to think about this. That there's no better swan song, period. There's nothing actually that I want my kids, my five biological children and my five children-in-law, that is my kids and their spouses. There's nothing more that I want than the Easter story. I mean, the Easter song is my swan song. I thought to myself, you know, what if I only had a few things to say to them, and what if I was laying there and they wouldn't let anybody come see me, but I could do a Facebook Live post and they could all be on it, and just my kids, you know, and my wife and my in-laws. I mean, my daughters-in-laws and sons-in-laws. What would I say to them? And I thought to myself, I would just say exactly what I'm going to say today. I would say exactly what I'm going to say today. And you know what I'm going to say today? I'm going to say this, that when you're facing death and when you're facing the gravity of life and when you're facing all the stuff that folks have been facing over this COVID deal, what always happens is that we're always pointed back to the eternal things. There's just something about it. I mean, death isn't final for us. And there's something deep in our heart that just knows it. It knows that death isn't final. And so we say this, you know, we say silly things that the Bible doesn't say, like, well, I'm going to get my wings. And by the way, you're not going to get any wings. You don't turn into an angel when you die. And we say, well, you know, I'm just going to a better place. But you know, when you're faced seriously with that question, you really go, am I going to a better place, instead of I am going to a better place? And the Easter story really is the story that just nails it. It really nails it. See, because everybody, if you're me, if you're Bobby, and you've been thinking about writing a swan song to your kids, then this is what you need. This is what you have to do. You have to think. The only thing I want to tell them is about my assurance. And the only thing I want them to know is about theirs. Am I okay with God? Is He going to take me home with Him? And are they okay with God? And is He going to take them home with Him? So that's the swan song. And that happens to be the Easter story. And it happens to particularly be the resurrection story. I'm going to read a text for you. It's out of Romans 10. I want you to listen to it. It's super familiar text. I mean, anybody that's been around the church very long knows this text fairly well and fairly quickly. Here's what it says. It says, because if you... It's Romans 10, verse 9, if you want to look it up. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. That's Easter. So Easter is when God raised Jesus from the dead. So God says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. He goes on to say this. He says, for with your heart one believes and is justified. Now, with your heart one believes. Well, what was my heart supposed to believe again? For if you believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. So back to Easter. That is, listen, here's what God's saying. He's saying, if you believe in Easter, not Easter like the day of Easter, but what happened on Easter? That God raised his son from the dead that day. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because it says, with your heart you believe and are justified. Now, I'm going to tell you about that word justified real fast. Real fast. The word justified is a forensic word, which means it's a legal word. And a legal word is simply this, is that when the judge declares something to be what it is, then that's what it means to be justified. That is, so when the judge says, if the judge is God, and if the judge looks at me and says, son, you're right with me, then the judge has just justified me. If the judge looks at me and he says, Bobby, all your accounts are clear with me, then the judge has just justified me. Now, I may look at the judge and say, judge, come on, you know me. I mean, you could even read my mind, you know, and you saw how I treated my wife last night, and man, I'm still fairly sorry. And John used to call me a sap. Won't tell you what that meant. But listen, I'm a fairly sorry guy. But see, the judge has already put the gavel down. And when the judge puts the gavel down, then what the judge says goes. And what God says is this, is that what happened, what God declared, God's the judge, what God declared in the resurrection, that is when Jesus was raised from the dead, what God declared in the resurrection is what saves you. Alrighty then. We better get to that. And remember, I'm saying this is my swan song to my kids. I don't mind if this is the very thing that is played to my children in San Diego, the four of them, or in Mississippi, the six of them. I don't care. Oh, no, I got two in Tennessee. So four in Mississippi and two in Tennessee. I don't care if this is what you play to them. If I get gravely ill and can't talk, this is what I want them to hear. This is the Easter story. Because God said this, is that what I declared on Easter Sunday is the same thing, Bobby, that I declared to your heart. And if your heart has been opened by me to believe it, and you do, you're in good shape with me. So what was it that God declared on Easter Sunday? What was it that God declared? God declared this. Listen. God declared that what Jesus' sacrifice for sinners had been accepted by him. Easter is the declaration of God that Jesus' sacrifice for sinners has been accepted by him. That's it. Okay, so let me paint you the picture. So in the Old Testament, this metaphor, this imagery, the Bible called it shadows of a reality that was coming. These shadows were constantly being shown in the Old Testament. So let me give you probably the chief one. I'll just get right to it. I could tell you a bunch of them, but let me just get to the chief one. Back on the high holy day of the Jews, back on the high holy days of the Jews, guess what would happen? The high priest would go in. Now remember, in the shadows of the law, everything was about Jesus. So when I say the high priest would go in, you got to think that Jesus was a high priest. And he was and is. So the high priest would go in back in the old law, and what the high priest would do is he would bring what? The blood of a sacrificial lamb. Jesus is called the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of the world. So here's the high priest, Jesus the high priest. Jesus is also the sacrificial lamb. And he would bring that behind the Holy of Holies, this big old curtain, and in behind the big old curtain, and he would meet with God back there on this place called the mercy seat. And he would meet with God back there. And there was these, this mercy seat was the Ark of the Covenant and had these two big cherubim wings that covered it. And it was this elaborate thing covered with gold. And blood would be put on the mercy seat. And if God accepted the blood that was on the mercy seat, then the high priest would go out alive and declare it to the people. Here's the deal. If you blew the sacrifice in any way, if the priest wasn't clean, Jesus had to be clean, and he was perfectly righteous in every way. And if the sacrifice was somehow tainted, if it wasn't presented to God properly, the way God wanted it to be presented, the priest would literally die and they'd just drag him out, and God had not accepted the sacrifice. But when the priest came out from behind the Holy of Holies temple veil alive and told the people, as soon as they saw him walk out alive, they knew that God had accepted the sacrifice for another year. Well, Jesus is the one-time sacrifice. And so here's what the resurrection means. When the high priest, the Lord Jesus, came out alive, after offering the sacrifice himself to God, that was God saying, I have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus for the lives of his sinful people. And guess what? That's all I have to say to my kids. It really is. Here's the deal, because if God is saying that to your heart, and if you can believe that Jesus is the sacrifice of God for his people's sins, then God says that is okay. So listen, listen, here's your Easter. So God's Easter testimony is that he raised Jesus from the dead. What's your Easter testimony? Easter testimony as that you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. So God gave a visible testimony each time. So to Jesus, the testimony that God had accepted the sacrifices of his people's sins was that Jesus was resurrected and came up from the grave. To you, the testimony that God has accepted Jesus' sacrifice for your sins is that you believe that the resurrection was the final proof that God accepted the sacrifices for your sins. That, my friends, is the Easter story. That's good news. The Bible says that God did something else, though, when the Easter thing happened. Not only did he have a testimony that he had accepted the sacrifices of Jesus for the sins of his people, that is, his chosen people that he chose before the foundation of the earth, just like the Israelites were his chosen people, that was also a shadow of his chosen people who are now coming from every tribe and every tongue and everything, and that God has accepted the sacrifice for those chosen people. And who are those chosen people? Well, the people Jesus died for. And who are the people Jesus died for and resurrected for? Well, it's the people that believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. And so what happens is there was another thing, though, that God proclaimed when the resurrection happened. And we see that in Romans 1. In Romans 1, listen how Paul kind of opens the whole letter of Romans. He opens it this way. He says, I'm Paul. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm called to be an apostle. I'm set apart for the gospel of God. That's that good news that we're talking about right now, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. That's the story I was just telling you concerning his son, Jesus, who was descended from David according to the flesh. And he, listen, and he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ah, that's where the first part of Romans 10 comes in. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? Okay, so that's where the first of it comes in. Here's what God said this. Here's the things that I declared in Jesus' resurrection. I declared that Jesus' sacrifice had been accepted by me and that the people that believed it were going to be saved. Here's the second thing I declared. I declared that Jesus is Lord. And what is... And then, so what God puts is, he puts that in my heart. And God, Jesus said this over and over again, that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so here's my heart. My heart saying, man, I believe in my heart that God actually accepted Jesus' sacrifice for my sin and paid for him. And I, if I got what I deserve, I would not be going up. I'd be going down. I would not be going with Jesus. I'd be going with Diablo. And so here's what God, but I believe that God accepted Jesus' death for my sins, that I had a high priest, and that high priest gave a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was his own self, and he gave it for the sins of the people, and I'm one of the people. And I believe that in my heart, that God did it, and that he did it for me. And what happens is that God says, when you believe that, then you also know that Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, that he's your Lord, that he's your King, that he's not some high priest, he's your high priest, that he's not some wonderful guy, that he's your wonderful guy, and that he's not just a Savior, but he's your Savior, and he's my Savior. He's my Savior and he's my Lord. And that's the Easter message. And it's interesting to me that in this passage where God says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with the heart that somebody believes unto righteousness or believes and is justified. And it's interesting to me that he says that. And he could have said a whole lot of other things. He could have said, if you believe that Jesus died, that you're saved. But here's the real story. If Jesus is not resurrected, we don't know if God accepted his sacrifice. And so he didn't say, if you believe that Jesus died. He said, if you believe that Jesus is resurrected. Because we know that God has accepted the sacrifice because of the resurrection. Listen to this. I was just in Israel. You guys know that I had to be quarantined when I came back because Israel had an outbreak. And we went through all these international airports. And no, we didn't know it was going to happen before. And no, our tour guide wouldn't give us our money back and all that stuff. But I was in Israel. And we went to the place where Jesus was crucified and where Jesus was buried. And it was interesting because I love all the old art. Man, I just love walking through the Louvre in Paris. And by the way, I've only done it once and it was by accident. So don't think I'm some rich world traveler. But boy, I was fascinated by it. I spent 3 weeks there. I love all the ancient art. And especially, as you know, a lot of the art is Bible story pictures. And so I just loved all that stuff. And so I was really curious. Of course, all these places where big events happen, they have churches over the top of them. And so I was here visiting this church where Jesus died on top of Mount Calvary and then where Jesus was buried. And one of the things that I did was I was looking at all the art on the walls and I started taking pictures of it. And you know how we do, you know. It's like, you know, if you're at the place where Jesus is buried, you know, we'd see tombs. And, you know, our famous picture over here in the States is the tomb with the stone rolled away and the tomb's empty. I mean, I've looked through Facebook all day and, you know, that's the main picture that I see. But you know what the pictures that I saw that were there around his tomb? They were pictures of the resurrection. There are pictures of the resurrection. Because Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. And what the artists were saying was, in this very place was where Jesus came to life. Not where he was buried. They were like, who cares about being buried? What we're excited about is that he came to life right here. And right here, God said he accepted the sacrifices for the sins of his people. And right here, my heart was assured that Jesus' sacrifice for sins was accepted and that I'm okay with God. That's it. That's really all I want my kids to know. You know, I wish my kids were okay with me. I think that takes a lot of time in counseling. I really do. For some, a lot of counseling. But here's what I really want. I really want my kids to be okay with God. I want them to know that God loves them. And I want them to know that God has accepted the sacrifice for the people that can believe it. Yeah, that's what I want them to know. That's the Easter story. Jesus was fixing to be crucified. And on the night that he was crucified, what he did was they were having the Passover meal. Well, the Passover meal is another dramatization, if you will, of Calvary. And all God's chosen people were being mistreated, and they were in bondage, and they were in slavery, and even now, we're born dead in our trespasses and sin, and in bondage, and in slavery to all of our foolishness, and Lord have mercy, I was such a bound slave at one part of my life, and what God did in the Passover was he came, and he said, listen, I'm going to get you out of here tonight. But I'm going to want you to take a spotless lamb. And I want you all to kill the spotless lamb. And this is an amazing part if you go back and look at the story. He says, I want you all to kill the lamb at a certain hour. And I want you all to kill the lamb together, like everybody has their own lamb and you're in your house. And I want you all to kill the lamb at a certain hour. And yes, you guessed it right. It's the exact same hour that Jesus died for our sins. It's the exact same hour in the New Testament that the Bible said that the lights of the world went out. And Jesus died for our sins. And he said, I want you to kill the Passover lamb. And it's going to be dark, and there's a death angel that's going to come. But if the death angel sees the blood, I want you to take the blood of the Passover lamb, and I want you to smear it across your door frame. And if the death angel comes by and he sees the blood, he's going to pass over you. So I've always thought about this. I've always thought about, what about the people inside the house, you know? I mean, their hearts weren't pure. They were probably still fighting with their wives, or they might have been scared to death. They might have all these different things that they were thinking, you know. But they knew they had one hope, and they knew their one hope was that God accepts the blood of the Passover lamb, and he won't kill us, even though we deserve it, if the Passover lamb's blood has been shed for us. That's what communion's about. Jesus said, literally, when he was taking communion with them, they came to the third cup, which is the cup of redemption, and they lifted it up. And when he lifted it up, he goes, I want to tell you something about the Passover that you never knew. The Passover was my blood. This cup was my blood that was going to be shed for you. I was going to purchase you, and I was going to buy you. This cup I was going to purchase, and it was going to be you. And then he read, and the Bible says that he that he broke the bread. And he said, this bread, this broken bread is my body, and it's going to be broken for you. And he took it and he said, I want you to take, eat it, and I want you to drink it. And the Bible says that after he prayed and after he blessed the bread and the cup, that he ate the bread, that they all ate the bread together and they all drank the cup together. For the first time, the disciples realized what the importance of the Passover was and what the story was, that Jesus was the Passover lamb and that it was Jesus' blood that would be spread over the doorpost of your home. And that it was Jesus' blood that would make you safe, even though you were still pretty sorry for critter. And so if you have your juice there with your family, and if you have your bread there with your family, I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to take it together. We're going to remember this. We're going to remember that Easter is the day when God said, I've accepted the blood of Jesus and the broken body of Jesus for the sins of his people. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we're thankful. We're thankful that Easter's your testimony, that you've accepted Jesus' sacrifice for the sins of his people. And we thank you also, Lord, that you've put that testimony in our hearts so that we can believe it. And we're thankful that because of that, we can share your blood and your body together as fellow believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. And take the cup. The cup is the blood of the new covenant that shed for the sins of many, and drink. Happy Easter, everybody. Let me just say this. I thought that, you know, if this actually is the thing that my kids see, and maybe it's, you know, a year from now or, you know, 10 years from now or whenever the Lord wants to take me home, that's his business, not mine. I want to say this too. That the Bible says that God demonstrated his love for us when he died for us. And that is that Easter's not only this time of celebration where God has said, I accept the sacrifice of my own son for the people that he died for. But Easter's also a time where God proved his love for us. The Bible says it was while we were yet sinners. The Bible says it was while we were his enemies that God proved that he loved us by not caring what went on inside the house, but looking past it to the people that he would redeem, to the bride that he would purchase for his son Jesus, and to the life that we could have with him from here on. So you might say, well, Bobby, what's the point? You know, I mean, how does this really matter to me? I'll say this, that, you know, I've been in counseling for several years, and our ministry is here at Crosswind. It works with a lot of broken people. They're homeless, and they're addicted, and they have all manner of life troubles, and even us that are the volunteers and the sponsors and the donors, I mean, man, we got all manners of trouble too. And I've been working in counseling for a long time. And I promise you this, that until you know God, until you know you're okay with God, until this message of justification, if you will, until I know that the judge has declared that I'm okay with him. Until that's nailed down, almost nothing else. I can't get to anything else because there's a bigger problem that's behind it. You know, like I hear a lot of times the symptoms, you know, people come in and say, I just can't get along with my wife. Well, that's a symptom. That's not the problem. What's the problem? And if you keep going back, one of the core problems is always that I'm not right with God. I don't know God. I don't know God's way. I don't know that He saves sinners. I'm constantly trying to save myself some way by cleaning my act up and failing and all that kind of stuff. And so I want to tell you that what's the point is that you have peace with God. The Bible says it this way in Romans 5. Let me just read it to you. Angel, I didn't give you this passage, so you're not going to be able to help me. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. That's it. That's what it does. And you know what? When coronavirus is here, and if you get it, you get the dry cough and the fever, and things are upside down, and you're a little bit not healthy, if you have peace with God, you're going to be okay. If you don't have peace with God, I promise you that once you get the dry cough and once you get the fever, that's the only thing that'll be on your mind. The resurrection is the day where God declared that His people are at peace with Him because He accepted Jesus' sacrifice for their sins. God bless you. Happy Easter to you all.